All right.
The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Well, this woman was at a hibachi grill restaurant and it exploded and burnt her face up.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
It's in Arkansas.
Terrible.
For one Arkansas woman, a meal out to celebrate her birthday turned into a trip to the hospital. According to KATV7 in Little Rock, 26-year-old Samantha Myers suffered an accident at Kimono Japanese Steakhouse in Paragould, Arkansas. The chef started a fire that exploded the grill. I like it when they do that shrimp in the pocket, though.
Me too, man.
I like when they do it.
Yeah, you have to catch it in your mouth.
Pretty impressive.
Or like when they do in their hat.
Mm-hmm. Cool, or like too. A whole egg.
Or, you know, oh, the egg.
When they stack
good.
The onions.
Oh. The volcano.
Oh, come on. Oh, yeah.
So good.
So this is not good for her, but I do like when they do something. And I've seen this stuff like 11 times, and I'm still like, ooh.
That's still my birthday, like, wish. When they have, what do you want to do for your birthday? I want to go to hibachi.
Like, you haven't ever gone?
Oh, no, every year. No,
oh, it's
ever,
just what you
ever
want.
Since I was a
I thought
kid.
You were saying, like, every year, it's what I ask for. It's my wish.
I love it.
We went for the first time when I was about 12 for church. We would go. I was like, this is the most special thing ever.
Yes.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but they built a volcano out of onions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even like onions.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. Anyway, that poor woman. Here's something that it was one of those stories I saw, and I sent Mike D a text, like, I got to talk about this on the show. And I sent him the link. And then I forgot about it today. But with the coronavirus happening, these kids, pranksters, I guess they were teenagers, right, Mike?
Yeah.
So they dress up in these hazmat suits, and they go on the subway, and they have a bucket that says coronavirus on it, sealed. And then they act like they spilled on an accident, and everybody's yelling, oh, God. They're so yelling, dumb. SSS.
Not, oh, my
are
gosh.
They here or are they in China?
No, they're here. Right? This is New York. This is in New York.
Oh.
They're called Instagram comedians. They sparked panic when they pretended to spill coronavirus on a New York subway train.
Oh,
no. Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, we have a clip, but it's so beeped. Is it so beeped? Oh, we can't even put it up. It's so bad. Like, funny if you're 12, and I'm 12 sometimes.
That's pretty funny.
We're laughing.
I did see a story, too, that I posted on my Instagram story, Amy, that made me think about you.
What?
Tupac is alive and well in New Mexico.
Oh, I know, and I believe it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They're shooting this documentary. A new film claims that Tupac is alive and well and living part of a Native American tribe in New Mexico. The Great Escape from UMC says the Thug for Life rapper was informed about the planned hit on him, and so they put a body double, and now he's hiding out. And here's the thing that I didn't know, that authorities can't go on to the reservation because you can't go in unless you have permission. Mm. It's still super protected. Who knows what they're doing in there? Probably Tupac, Biggie are both still in there.
Oh, wow.
Elvis.
Oh,
wow. That's where they all are.
Out? Yeah. Yeah.
They play like Friday nights.
Did you see the video of the woman? She was leaning back in her seat on the airplane, just doing the lean back. And there's a guy, he's in the very, very back seat on the airplane. Now, the thing about the back seat is it doesn't lean back because you're on
the wall.
And so she's leaned back. And he's annoyed she's leaning back, so he's just like punching her seat the whole time.
Saw this.
So she takes her phone and records it, and he's just punching her seat the whole time. And the question is, which is okay? Him being irritated and hitting her seat because she leans back and people don't like lean backers? Or is he in the wrong for punching the seat?
He's in the wrong.
Right.
Because
no,
she has
right.
the lean back button. If there's a button, the chair can be leaned back. It's unfortunate for you that you got the last seat on the plane or the seat in the back, but you can't act
that
way.
That's so obnoxious. He's so obnoxious.
So obnoxious.
Again, the seat leans back. She didn't make the rules. She's
right.
just playing by them. And dude, book your seat. Book your trip earlier if you need to get out that back seat. And you could have asked her nicely, hey, would you not lean back? And then if she says no, well, that's her prerogative.
Right. You just have to suck it up.
But it has, right now, the one video I see has almost 7 million views.
Oh.
And she's leaned back and he's just hitting her seat like this the whole time.
Like a kid.
Just trying to annoy her.
Like a child.
And then what happened when she starts filming? He just continues to do it?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. I just don't understand people that say that he was in the right. Now, you could go, they should stop. Airlines should stop letting seats lean back so far. But that's an argument that doesn't involve them.
Right. That has nothing to do with her. It doesn't make, no, nothing. I'm shocked right now there's people that actually are on his side.
I'm on his side. I think she's being very rude to him because she knows he's cramped. But what is he doing wrong? That seat is there, so it's a drum. He can practice his drumming, right? If that's what we're saying
that's
is...
obnoxious.
No. Yeah,
it's obnoxious, but being in his space is obnoxious also.
Wait, so you would react that way?
I'm not saying I would react that
the
way, but...
The seat leans back, you get to lean it back.
Do you even think the seat leans back enough?
No,
like to ever lean it back, like does it like that 1 inch? Does it is that enough for you guys?
No, I think it's just the idea that you get to lean a seat back to relax.
Yeah, because I move it back and I'm like, I still feel straight up.
If this guy is all upset about where he is, he should book his flight earlier. Yeah, look, he's a real douche. You can't do that. Like, he's doing it just to bother
him.
She's literally doing nothing wrong. I do get annoying people lean back on me, but that's a me thing. That's not a her. That's not a them thing. Yeah. He's upset. I'm punching her seat. So she records. They ask, who's right? Who's wrong? I'll tell you who's wrong. Goober, that dude is. My study has found that walking 10,000 steps a day may not actually keep you from gaining weight.
How many do we have to walk?
Carried out by research at BYU, the new study looks at 120 freshman students during their first 6 months of college, split them up into three groups, and one of the groups was asked to walk 10,000 steps a day for 6 weeks over a period of 24 weeks. The findings show that while the students walked about 10,000 steps per day, those in that group didn't really do anything different than the other ones.
That's weird.
What? It's weird because you did the 10,000 a day?
No. I mean, I don't know what the other, I wonder what the others are getting. And then freshman in college, is that the best measure? Because that's when you gain like freshman 15.
Oh, yeah.
No, but again,
you're exposed.
But you're missing the point. They're all freshmen in college. They're all living the same life.
Okay. True.
So that wouldn't matter. That's why they do three groups doing the same thing.
I just, for anybody.
What?
Well, I just feel like they should, I want them to do it. Not on freshmen in college, but I see what you're saying. If they're all doing that, they're all eating
if they're
the same.
Old people, young people, but if you're doing it all to the same kind of people.
Okay. All right.
A guy in Pennsylvania robbed a female acquaintance's house when she wasn't home, and he called her while he was inside. That's ballsy. An Altoona, PA man was arrested after police say he called and texted a woman while he was burglarizing her home. The woman called 911 after receiving phone calls and text messages from him, in which he told her he had broken into her home. She was not home. She told police she and her friends were giving him a ride from a local veterans club that night when he opened the door and got out of a moving vehicle near her home. Police said the door from the woman's house had been kicked in, and he allegedly had baseball cards and drill bits and attachments he had taken from the home. He also sent messages to the woman to tell her he knew how to hotwire a car and he was going to steal her vehicle. So this guy's just obviously wrong in his head, right?
Something's
wrong. Not right.
I was like an ex-boyfriend at first. That would have been cool. I'm in your house, baby.
He's got baseball cards, too. I wonder which ones.
Yeah. Oh.
Got rookie cards, right?
Yeah, King of a junior rookie. Adonis.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm done. We're done. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out. Hope everybody has a good Valentine's Day. You're going to hear today's show. Tim McGraw comes by, which is cool. Amy has a special Valentine's podcast up.
Yes, it's all about love. But you don't have to be in a relationship to like it. My first interview kind of touches on that, but we get into so much more. And then we also talk about how you can love yourself better, how you can love others that are hard to love. Like, you should still care about people, even sometimes when it's hard. And then I go over, like, the best romantic movies, too. So it's a love episode. Four Things with Amy Brown.
There you go. And you guys doing a sports show today?
Yeah,
or no?
Sore Losers.
Yes?
Yeah.
Sore Losers, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're doing one today?
Yeah, we're doing one today.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you guys. Have a check out Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. What's on Movie Mike's Podcast?
Why actors turn down major roles.
What do you mean?
So, like, Tom Cruise, he was originally offered the part in Shawshank Redemption, and he turned it down because he didn't want to do a movie with a first-time director.
Oh, he was going to be Andy Dufresne?
Yeah, that was the part for him.
Andy Dufresne.
He came to Shawshank in 1949.
You actually do good impressions.
It's pretty good.
My impressions that end up being pretty good are impressions of Eddie doing impressions.
Well, and then I listen to you, and then I go back, and it messes up my impression.
Well, don't stop. All right, here you go. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend. Here is Friday's show. Bye, guys.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
All right, we got a good one today. Welcome to Friday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Well, today, Tim McGraw will be in.
It's my dude.
Yeah, and he's going to play, which is cool. We didn't really ask him. I didn't ask him anyway, but Tim McGraw is going to come in, part of the Friday morning conversation, and he's going to play, and we'll talk about his new tour. We just really like hanging out with Tim McGraw, so that'll be a thing that happens today. Later on in the show, we will all reveal our poems we wrote for our loved ones,
Yes. Our
significant others. Who all has a poem? Raise your hand.
Hi.
Oh, everyone. Morgan, number two, is there something you want to tell us? Your hand came up.
Nope, it's to my dog.
Okay. Wow. So Raymundo, Morgan number two, Mikey D, all took part in it too. I like that.
Everybody in love.
We may have to break this up in two segments. There's a lot of love. By the way, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to you.
No, Eddie, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to...
to our people.
Yeah, I was talking to the people listening to the show. Yeah, it'll be good. Today will be good. I was reading a story about Jeff Bezos, the Amazon guy. He paid $255 million for properties in the 90210 zip code. And he bought one mansion for $165
million. Wow. One?
Didn't he just buy a yacht?
Yeah. No, what? That was Bill Gates.
That's Bill Gates.
Okay. So can't keep up with all these rich people.
Here's what I saw, though, because I always like to know how much money it is to them.
Oh.
This house that Jeff Bezos bought for $165 million, that is the equivalent to someone normal spending $120.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's not that bad, then.
Yeah.
It's like... Round of golf.
And good for him. He deserves it then.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos is so rich that the average American spending $1 is similar to Bezos spending $1.2 million. So basically, it's like $1 million per dollar.
Crazy.
Isn't that nuts? Just to not even have money as a thing. Like, money isn't even a thing. It you can just have whatever you want.
Right.
But again, he worked hard for it, right?
When you have that much money, do you have insurance?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, you probably don't need insurance because
why
if
would
something
you get insurance
happens,
on your car?
Just pay it.
Well, because it's illegal not to have it.
No. I'm talking about like
buy,
house
then you
insurance.
Buy the police force.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. Unless you have to have it because of law, you probably don't have insurance.
Right.
What?
Oh. Well, then I guess you don't need a prenup.
Which, no, you do because then you get rid of the money. Wait, I don't understand that.
We all always say that you have a prenup just like you have insurance.
You're still defending the prenup.
Oh, yeah. We're still
and,
on this.
Well, and it's relatable because Jeff Bezos or whatever didn't. Now his wife is like super rich.
Yeah.
Ex-wife.
Yeah, and she sold a bunch of that stock too, right?
Wow.
Recently. Oh, one of them did. Today's Friday, as you may know the song here.
It's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Friday.
Come on.
I did see she posted on Instagram. This was 9 years ago. And she just kind of talked about in a really lengthy post that how much this song... And the backlash from it really affected her life negatively.
Oh, man.
She said, to my 15-year-old self, who felt like she had nobody to talk to about the depression she faced, to my 17-year-old self, who would get to school only to get food thrown at her, and to my 19-year-old self, who had almost every producer-songwriter tell me they'd never work with me. And the whole thing was about how to not let your past kind of creep and then hold you back. But, man, I hadn't heard this song in a long time. It reminded me how much I liked it.
Yeah, it's a jam.
Well, it's only the jam because it's so bad, though.
Did she make money off this, though?
Probably.
Good.
I would assume if she wrote it.
Yeah.
So, saw that. Here we go, everybody. You know what it is.
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
All right, let's see what's happening with everybody here on the show in our segment that we call What's the Haps?
Hey, what's the Haps?
Sunday is a big day for me because it is the season premiere of American Idol. Season 3. So I'm pretty pumped about this. We've been shooting since October, maybe September. And I'm super pumped to be back as the full-time mentor on American Idol. The whole thing that's great about this show is like we're the only show that actually travels the country to find the next big thing in music. Other shows, obviously, you have to go to LA. But, you know, we've been to a lot of places, man. And so you're going to see some really cool stuff. You're going to see waitresses. There's one guy who's a garbage man. Who's never been, and he's real good.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And so it's going to be great. You know, an American Idol actually makes superstars. Carrie Underwood, Adam Lambert, Jennifer Hudson. It'll be cool. American Idol premieres 8/7 Central on ABC. That's my show. When I was in LA the last couple days doing press for it, I see all the billboards in my head on it. It's crazy.
That
in LA.
Really, yeah, that's got to be weird.
Dang, dude, that's awesome.
I was going to try it because I was freaking out a little bit. I was going to pull over and get a picture, like buy it, but it was on the highway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't do that.
We decided not to do
that. Were you in an Uber?
No, Caitlin's car.
Oh, I didn't know if you'd be like, if your Uber driver's like, wait a second, you're on the billboard.
Wow, that's got to be such a cool feeling.
But in
dude.
LA, nobody cares. There are so many billboards with everybody's face on it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Still, you care. That's
I
cool.
care. Yeah, it's still a big deal to me. So, yeah, American Idol is on Sunday night. I hope you get a chance to check it out. I'm super pumped and proud that they're featuring me a lot more this season. So, yeah, pretty cool. That's what's happening with me. Hey!
What's the hat?
Amy?
So we are officially like 7 weeks from your birthday, and the party planning has begun.
I heard we can't get Hootie.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's all I wanted.
Man. Wow, you were going that big.
Wah, wah, wah.
I know.
Okay. But
it was a whole dramatic thing too. What?
Don't get down. It's still going to be fun, and we're working on it, and I'm going to make it
super
special.
I know it's going to be fun. Do we know where I'm going to be though yet? I still don't think I know.
Well, you're going to be in Nashville. That's what I'm planning. That's what you told me. I called and I said, hey, where are you going to be?
Am I?
And you said, I'm going to be, and I've been talking to people that also know your schedule.
April. Okay, here we go. On April 1st, I'm shooting middle rounds of American Idol in Los Angeles. So that'll go late that night. So I'll fly back. I guess I'll work that morning and then fly back that day.
Oh, you're going to be tired.
That's going to be a tough one.
Maybe a little grumpy.
But then here's the other thing.
Go ahead.
The ACMs are that weekend and you have to be back in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So the idea was, listen, I need to know now because there was an idea tossed around so you didn't have to fly from like LA to Nashville, Nashville back to Vegas, all for work.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I could just stay out there.
We were throwing around the idea because a lot of people are going to be out there anyway that we just do it out there.
Yes. Oh, in Vegas? I'll pass on that one.
Okay. Well, that was to help you in your schedule, but then you're coming back to Nashville.
We were going to get Mayweather to fight, and you're going to fight him. Okay.
You're going to get Donnie Osmond to see.
Yeah, do
Wayne
all that.
Wayne Newton.
I mean, but whatever, if that's not what you want.
Yeah, I don't want to do it in Vegas.
Okay, well then, good, because Nashville's already what I have underway, and like, I think there's something really cool in the works, but we can switch. I just need to know, like, in the next few days.
When I shot the Opry show, which, by the way, isn't on TV yet, but when I shot it, Darius was the guy. I did a little stand-up, and then I brought him out. I had a couple Hootie jokes. One of them was, I love Darius Rucker so much that back in college, I had a cover band named after him. It was called Booty and the Whole Fish.
That's a good one.
Can't understand why it didn't work. That one. Let's see.
Did he hear that one?
Yeah, he was on side stage laughing.
Good. Who wrote that?
Me. So we're
you
on.
Did?
Yeah, we're on the side, and I look to him and I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna do like 5 minutes of stand up before you come out." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And so I'm standing out. I walk out and I do a couple of the jokes I know are gonna work. So I lay those down, and then I'm like, "Oh," I said, "Darius is coming out next." He said, "You know, it's a special night to me. I wanted to write a song that really encapsulated how I feel about him, but I could not find a word that rhymed with Rucker." And it took the crowd a second, and they were like,
It took me a second.
Yeah. What was another? I had a few Darius ones that were pretty good. We'll see. I haven't seen the playback yet, but I do love Hootie. Sad they can't do it. But I got hit last week, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So so we're doing birthday in Nashville?
That's the plan.
Okay, there you go. Hey!
What's the hat?
All right, Lunchbox.
Well, I want to know, how do I ask my wife to sleep in another bed? Because she's at the point in her pregnancy where she's not sleeping very comfortably, so she's tossing, she's turning, and when she tosses and turns all throughout the night, it wakes me up, and she's up going to the bathroom 2 to 3 times a night, and I understand she's pregnant, she's uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean I should be uncomfortable, and I just want to ask her, hey, do you want to sleep in the guest room? That would be so much better for you and me.
Any advice here, guys?
Why doesn't Lunchbox move?
Yeah. Seems like the simple solution.
Like instead of making her go somewhere
else. Because she's pregnant. Why take her out of her bed? She's carrying your baby.
And if she's uncomfortable, shouldn't you kind of be uncomfortable with her?
Yeah.
It's a good one, too.
Be with her.
She has to wake up. Yeah.
Comfort her.
Just because she wakes up to go to the bathroom doesn't mean I need to wake up so I know she goes to the bathroom. And the guest bedroom is downstairs, so she doesn't have to come up the stairs. And when I get ready in the morning, I need the shower upstairs, so I'd have to come up and wake her up and go in the shower. So that way she's in another room, and it's just easier.
Guys?
The solution is that you need to move. Yeah. Or you just go through it. I mean, she's about to give birth soon anyways, and it's probably your baby that's pressuring her bladder.
Yeah, you did that.
I mean, it is my baby, I hope.
Yeah, you did. That's your fault.
Yeah, you did that. So your final judgment, Amy, piece of advice is?
Either you just power through and you stay with her, or you leave the room.
You make the call. Yeah. All right. Hey!
What's the hat?
Eddie?
Oh, boy. We thought that Ray's bachelor party was kind of making changes, I guess, for the better. But I think it's just changed for the worse now.
So we were going to have it in Tunica, Mississippi.
Yes.
But now it's Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm, which is fine. Okay. That'd be cool, right? Vegas. The boys in Vegas.
Heck yeah.
Now he says that his fiance will be going that same weekend. and he would like to maybe organize a dinner with his fiance and the bridal party.
Raymundo?
Yeah, I just thought it would be a good group atmosphere. The girls are really fun to hang out with. We don't have to party with them the entire weekend, but I think we can do a meal.
I think that sounds great.
It's fine.
I don't even know the date of the party. So I asked Ray and he was like, we don't have one yet.
It's gearing up. Yeah, we'll have it.
Wait, if you know when they're going, how do you not know when you're going?
Still being confirmed. We can get hotels, what the prices are, if everybody's okay with
it. You can get hotels. It's Las Vegas.
Ray, we can always get hotels.
So, but you don't know a date yet.
We're shooting for the final weekend in July.
So that would be the last weekend of July.
Are you available, Bones?
Well, Eddie, we're on the road. If it's the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
Uh-oh.
And that's Lunchbox's birthday.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. I can spend it in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Well, then that's no good for us.
What's the plan here, Raymundo?
I mean, we can do the weekend before. Nothing's been booked. It's still fluid.
Okay. Does your girl want to go at the same time as you? Is this something?
No, I did.
Oh, yeah?
No, stop. Really?
Ray, you had that idea? Oh, my goodness.
Ray really, really loves Bay. No, what's wrong with that?
I understand that.
But Amy, the bachelor party is your—that's your last hoorah
with the boys.
What's the hoorah?
Yeah,
Eddie?
But y'all are acting like.
What do you mean hoorah? First of all, he gets to do whatever. He's not going to stop getting hoorahed. Okay. And the hoorah is on like something dirty.
No, not to be dirty, but you don't go with your fiance. No. This is the time with the boys.
He's saying one meal. Vegas is a really big city.
Raymundo, I'm for it.
Okay.
I think it would be fun.
That's what the honeymoon's about. For.
Raymundo, or Eddie, thank you.
Yeah.
Raymundo, as soon as you get a date, let us know, bro.
Absolutely, yeah.
Eddie's very busy. I have to jump to a schedule.
I didn't even know. We had a show that weekend.
All right, there you go. Hey.
What's the hat?
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
I have some life updates for you. I put my dog on the scale yesterday. He now weighs 42 pounds.
Wow.
Whoa.
Little sucker's growing.
Big boy.
And he's slowly minding a little better. It just took time with him when he wasn't sick all the time. So when I got this dog, I knew he was going to be a sick dog. That's kind of why I ended up taking him. And so having to put him through a bunch of surgeries, it was tough to like keep him disciplined. And he's still a jerk sometimes. But aren't we all? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
But he's learning. He's at 42 pounds. That's update number one. Update number two, something I was going to run by you guys. I was at the airport yesterday, and we were flying back over from California here. So I went over and did a press day with American Idol, which the show starts back Sunday night. And Caitlin, who's my girlfriend, we were going through together. And I am not used to being in a couple. So here's what I did. I didn't even think about it, mm-hmm. Okay?
I already am guessing what you did.
Well, no, it's... let me tell you, we get up, and you know, I have pre-check... And she doesn't. And I didn't think anything about it. And I was like, all right, I'll see you on the other side. And I just walked right to pre-check.
I don't blame you on that.
It didn't even cross my mind to wait in. Because we weren't in a hurry. I get everywhere early. And so there wasn't even a long line at regular check. But my mind just, I'm just so conditioned to do what I do because I travel all the time. I went right to pre-check and went on. And then went on the other side and just kind of chilled and sat on my phone and waited. And she went through the line. She wasn't irritated, but I felt like a real jerk because I left her behind.
Yeah, but I mean, you would have to take your shoes off and take your computer out. And I think she probably understands that. So, I mean, I don't blame you for doing that. My husband's not TSA pre and I am and I go pre.
Yeah, but you guys have been married a long time. It's still 3 months in here, over here.
This is how you show how legit you are.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I know. You should have thought about it and said, hey, do you want me to wait with you or do you want me to... And of course, it's the beginning of the relationship, so she's going to say, oh, do TSA pre, I don't care. You know, because you can't let the real crazy come out in the beginning.
To where something like
TSA pre is going to bother you.
Yeah.
You have to wait for that.
Well, I kind of felt like a jerk, not because I did it, but because I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, you should have thought about it.
I was just on my phone, and this is how I thought about it. Another guy comes through, and there was a couple behind us, too, and he comes through by himself, and he comes up and goes, hey, you're my inspiration. I left my girlfriend behind, too, to come through. And I was like, oh, no, I can't believe I did that.
Oh, wow. He reminded you.
Uh-huh. He saw you do it.
Yeah. So that happened. That's life update number two. A lot of times callers will call me and go, hey, if we see a celebrity out, how do you act around them? When is it okay to go up to them? When is it not? And the general rules that I share are if they have their kids or there's food in their proximity, you don't go up to them. Because that's basically the two safe zones, kids and food. One, kids, they're having their time with their kids. You don't bother that. And two, nobody wants to touch anyone's hand if they're eating. You know, so that being said, I saw a celebrity at a restaurant.
Uh-oh.
Two nights ago.
Who?
David Spade.
Oh, that's awesome. You gotta go up to him.
So I saw, I was walking from the bathroom and he was sitting by himself eating sushi, and there's no way I was gonna break my rule. So what I did is I walked by, and right when I got by the table, I said, "Hey, Dave, big fan." Just kept walking. He goes, "Hey, man, thanks." And that was it. Walked away.
No picture.
No,
nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
It was pleasurable for both of us.
Yeah.
And in my Instagram Q&A that I did, in my Instagram story, someone said, "Who's the last celebrity you fangirled over?" And I was like, "Well, probably David Spade." I saw him. I was like, "Hey, man, big fan." And just kept walking. And then he saw it and reposted it and was like, "That's the way to do it." It was respectful. It was quick. It was great.
Wow, he said that?
He remembered it.
Wow. That's cool.
He did remember it.
Wow.
So it was funny.
That's so cool.
Because he was just chilling by himself. I don't want to bother him. And I was just like, "Hey, man, big fan." He goes, "Hey, appreciate that." And just kept going.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I try to live by what I say.
Yeah.
Because I really would have loved a picture. So, yeah, did that. I think that's update number 3. Anything else you need to update on? Otherwise, I think I'm pretty good for now. We have our poems coming up in a little bit. We're all reading poems we wrote for our significant others.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's good. I mean, is Caitlin, she with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah, we flew back. Well,
that's
we,
right. She is. Okay.
We went to the airport. She couldn't get on my plane because my flight was a little earlier. So she came to the airport a little earlier than me and then got on a flight a little later.
Oh.
Then she came with me last night.
Gotcha.
Did you see the Twitter post I put on my Instagram story from someone going, "Bobby's girlfriend's a PR stunt"?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Which is so not the case.
Is it?
Good question.
And so I was actually with Caitlin when we saw it, and so we just posted a thumbs up picture right after it on the next slide.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
We're like, "Yep, you got us. All a PR stunt." So, listen, if it was a PR stunt, I would have done it long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I did post on there how we met, if you want to check that story out. It's my Instagram's Mr. Bobby Bones. I think it's up for just a little bit longer.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Lunchbox claims he needs a crash house. Now, have you heard this?
No.
What's the deal?
Well, my wife has been given permission that she gets to work from home one day a week. And so now I don't have anywhere to go on that day of the week because I go home and I want to watch TV. Oh, she's on a conference call. I'm trying to take a nap. She's on the phone. She's doing business. So I feel uncomfortable in my own house. So I need a flop house or a crash.
Not a flop house.
What does
a flop
that mean? House? Is that like a...
What
like,
is that?
I think he's just saying words.
It's somewhere where I can go and like watch TV and
plop
eat,
down and
yeah,
do
plop down and be chill and take a nap and not have to be worried about her doing her work and I can't turn on the TV because it's distracting because she's trying to get work done. It's like, man, this working from home is for the birds.
So she's very pregnant, so they're letting her work from home.
Yes. One day a week, but I'm just like... Man, so what do I do during that day? I need somewhere to go. Like if someone's listening and they're not going to be home, and they want me to like use their house. Mm. That'd be great. Like a flop house, crash house.
A flop house is considered a derogatory term for a place that offers very low cost lodging, providing space to sleep and minimal amenities.
Well,
hey, as long as I got a TV and a couch, I'm good. That's what I'm saying. I need somewhere to go because my
How
wife.
How do you just like rub her feet? Or make her lunch
or
be there for
room.
Her.
No. I don't have a TV in another room. The TV is in the living room.
Oh.
And we don't have a separate office where she sits on the couch and puts her feet up and does her work. And then I got to get on conference call. Can you be quiet? Okay. So I just sit there in silence.
Here's another definition for flop house. It's an apartment where many drug abusers stay to abuse drugs. Some of these people pay rent and others are unemployed and do nothing with their lives except party and use drugs.
I guess you could get one of those.
So I guess you could probably get a flop house.
I think we have one of those in
We'll never see you again, but...
How long is she going to be doing this? Till she has a baby?
Until she has a baby, and then she'll be home every day. Because then she's on maternity leave.
Then what? Boy. I mean...
Yeah, then what?
Well, no, she won't be working, so I'll be able to take a nap and stuff and turn on the TV. Mm. It's just,
but the baby's probably going to be crying.
Life's tough, huh?
It is tough. Like, yeah. I don't know how people deal with their spouses working from home when you get a day off or you get off work and you go home and they're just there and... All right, why can't...
Would she be mad if you just got a hotel to sleep in during the day? If you got a day room? Because when we travel, Eddie and I, we do Raging Idiot shows, we'll get a day room if we're only in a city for a day. We won't even spend the night, but we'll go. And we can go watch TV, take a nap, eat.
Do they charge you full price for that?
They do, unless you're going to go to one of those hotel rooms that you charge by the hour.
Right. Those are different, though.
And that's kind of like a flop house, I'd probably say.
Maybe I'll look into a hotel room.
Have you talked to her about this?
No, I did. I was like, "What do you expect me to do?" She's like, "Well, I'm sorry, I'm working. What do you want me to do?" And I'm like, "Go to work."
You did not do that. You did not say it like that to her.
No, I just said, "Well, I mean, you can let
He's
me watch."
He's such a big man on this show.
I know.
I am a big man. And
how
I'm
do
a big
you really talk to
and
her?
At home, he's like, boo, boo, doo, boo. Remember when he'd play, bring in clips, and he'd be like, hey, baby.
Yes, yeah, his voice is all different.
Yes, it changes. It's
hey,
weird.
I'm just going to ask you if you want me to cook for you today.
What are your toenails would you like me to paint?
Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
An evacuee from China is now in Texas. It has become the 15th American with coronavirus. The CDC is warning, be prepared. The infection is going to take a foothold in the U.S. In other news in sports, the Astros stars Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve apologized for their role in the cheating scandal. The team's owner, Jim Crane, insists their sign-stealing scheme didn't impact the game. And finally, major rivers in 9 states are near flood stage because of all the rain. Officials are also warning about the extreme cold. Most places are going to feel 10 to 20 degrees colder than usual today.
Fun Fact Friday. Let's go!
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
Ooh, fancy.
Number 5.
What's up?
Ooh. So the first photo ever posted on Instagram was a picture taken by one of the founders, and he took it of a golden retriever, put it up there, and just wrote test as the caption. And it was posted July of 2010.
And he got a bunch of hate. All the other followers were like, this is the ugliest dog ever.
There was nobody else on Instagram.
There was no followers. Yeah.
There were no followers.
Do you remember your very first Instagram post?
Mm-mm.
Me neither. I guess we could go back and look. That'd be interesting.
I think I got an Instagram a bit late, though, because I'm Twitter more than I am anything, even today. Like, I'm on Twitter 80% of my social media time. I post on Instagram maybe once or twice a day, and I post my stories a bit, but I'm very much a Twitter person more than I am an Instagram person. You?
I'm more Instagram, for sure.
Do you get on Twitter?
Every once in a while.
Every day?
I used to every day. Now I'd say it's like twice a week, maybe.
Hey, Mike, can you find my first Instagram post? Okay, we'll come back and take a look in a second. All right, number four.
Jeff Bezos is so rich that an average American spending $1 is similar to him spending $1.2 million.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So he could spend $1 million and it's like somebody just going to the gas station to buy a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
Isn't that
insane? If you don't know who that is, he's the founder of Amazon.
If you don't know who that is, he's going to buy you and teach you who he is. I like it when they break it down like that. So for the average person, I don't know what the average person makes a year, but you go to the gas station and you get basically a king size. I bet a king size would be more than that.
That's more than a million.
It's like $1.39.
Okay. Wow. So the average person in a year makes $45,000.
And for him.
And he makes $2,500 a second.
A lot of dollars.
Right. So, you know, that's $150,000 a minute.
Hit me with that next fun fact.
Number 3.
George W. Bush is the only president to have ever run a marathon. He did it in 1993, 2 years before he became the governor of Texas, and he did it in 3 hours and 44 minutes.
I wonder if marathons were a thing back in like the Roosevelt days when those super athlete guys, because back in the day to be president, you had to be big and macho and strong.
Yeah.
Because we looked at our presidents as a fighter. I know some of them are boxers, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I wonder if...
Oh, Abra's a wrestler.
I wonder if marathons were even a thing back then. I'm surprised that Obama had a marathon. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised even that Bill Clinton, because he was a runner.
Mm-hmm.
But George... Which one?
George
Father
W.
Son?
Bush.
Son.
Yeah.
All right. Next fun fact.
Number 2.
Johnny Carson liked being alone so much that in his $81 million home in Malibu, he only had one bedroom because he never wanted to host a guest.
Incredible.
I thought you might like that.
Guys, I just got a little turned on.
This is a massive mansion. One bedroom.
More than that, that was shocking to me is that a house costs $81 million.
Oh, yeah.
A single house.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's not a typo?
I don't think so.
$81 million.
And Johnny Carson, he got all that from, I mean, I know he had late night TV, but.
Well, he was the biggest thing in television for decades and decades. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you make business decisions off of the money you're making.
Yeah,
but it's all from Johnny Carson being the guy on television for decades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next fun fact.
Number 1.
The black box on an airplane is actually bright orange or red, not black.
What?
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
They were originally black, but that made them harder to find if there was a crash. And then that became an issue. So someone was like, maybe we should make these black boxes red.
That's a great point. And then you remember the joke, what's the deal with the black box? Why don't we make the whole plane in the black box and then it won't be destroyed?
Is that a real joke?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's a good point.
But then it's obvious because it's such heavy material. Yeah.
It wouldn't get off the ground probably.
What's the deal with peanuts? Morgan number two, do you know that impression?
No.
Oh, wow.
This sounds horrible. Missing out.
Like when I go, what's the deal with peanuts?
No, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Like really? No person comes to mind?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's the greatest impression, but I think it's good enough, right?
Yeah, we all know what it is.
What is it from?
What's the deal with Instagram? How much does it really weigh? More than a gram? You know, nothing?
Nothing.
That's Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, no. I never watched Seinfeld. Is that what it's from?
What's the deal with Morgan number two?
Does she know Jerry Seinfeld?
You know Jerry Seinfeld. You never watched Seinfeld?
No, but that's who that is, right?
Have you ever seen an episode?
Scrolling through TV, maybe 5 minutes, but I've never really watched a full episode.
I can't hate. You were born in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's just weird, and that's when you feel old, when something you just think is universally known to you, nope. Sorry, was it on TikTok? No, I didn't watch it. There you go. Fun Fact Friday. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
Get your Bobby Bones on.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I guess your kids have a Valentine's Day at school today, huh?
Yeah, it's their first one with classmates to take treats to.
What's the rule in your kids' class? Do they have to take treats for everyone?
No, but today is a half day anyway, so they're
for
having
Valentine's Day?
Don't get me started. Today's a half day, and then Monday is President's Day. No school. Oh my God. And last week, school was closed 2 days because they had to clean it because everyone's sick, and they had to sanitize everything. And so I'm like, golly, the kids, they're just not a lot of school happening right now. But they're having a party and kids can take Valentine's. So I got little gifts for the teachers and then stuff for them to pass out to their classmates. And I didn't do candy. And I think other moms are going to appreciate me for that.
Well, what did you send them with?
Go-Go squeeze packets. They're like snacks on the go. That's like pureed applesauce and stuff. They're so cute. They made them look like Valentine's. And it says to and from. It's I ordered on Amazon and Go-Go Squeeze, they sent them and it was so easy. I just thought they're going to get so much candy. As a mom, I would appreciate it if every, other treat was something sort of nutritious.
Okay, I want to come back to what you sent.
Okay.
First, I want to know the rules of the classroom. If kids have to bring something, do they have to bring one for everybody?
I would assume. That's what we did.
How many did you send?
Stevenson has 15. So, and then Stashira, I don't know the head count, but I ordered a big box and we've got leftovers at the house. So I just ordered enough.
I'm looking at these Go-Go squeezes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says you spice up my life.
So cute, right?
I go bananas over you for the banana one.
Oh, so they have Valentine messages.
That's what
on
I
them
said. They made
be
them real
my
cute
main squeeze.
Oh, I get
yeah
it.
You are the apple of my eye. I like you very much. Uh-huh. So all of these, I'm looking too, though, but there's just as much sugar in these as there is candy.
Oh.
Okay, but it's not. What are the ingredients?
Well, it's applesauce.
Okay, but apples have sugar. Apple sugar is different than Starburst sugar.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Processed sugar and then fruit from sugars, very, very different. Sugars,
what do we
from
feel
fruit
about Go-Go squeezes to the classroom, guys?
Fructose.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's going to end up in the trash.
No.
My kids aren't going to eat that crap.
I think kids are going to be disappointed. They're going to be like, you're the one that gave me apples for Valentine's Day.
I feel like applesauce packs are like candy.
Bones, when you get sweet tarts or a real fun dip versus applesauce.
Can I say with 60 calories per serving, 100% fruit, no artificial flavors or preservatives, this is a reachable snack for kids that's good for on the go. And it's just to me, I just thought, why not do something a little bit different? And I worried that, or I worry, I guess we'll find out after today, if it will help them with friends, or friends might be like, oh gosh, what is this?
Well, you're sending your son to school with carrots.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you're sending your kids to school with applesauce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that, but eventually you can have to send them with singles, dollars, just to make up for
money.
It. Yeah, just to make up.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought this might be a good idea for other parents when you have to, if you want to do something like this, you don't always have to do candy.
We will put this up on our Facebook page. We'll put a poll up if we feel like this will be cool for her kids.
Like, did they make friends today or lose friends?
They lost them.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Carly Pierce's self-titled album is out today. Here's her song on the album with Lee Bryce called I Hope You're Happy Now.
I hope you're
You know what I'm excited about is when in the future they just don't release songs on Friday. Hmm. When Eddie and I put out music, and who cares about us, right? We do comedy music. We put it out on a different day because all this music comes out at the same time.
There's no rule.
Right. You're not going to win the week of streaming. You know, good for her. I like Fridays because of that, but eventually it's just going to come out all the time, especially singles. But Carly Pierce has got a new record. What else?
Luke Combs shared a heartfelt Instagram post to his fiance Nicole for Valentine's Day, sharing that he really just wanted the world to get a little peek at all of the amazing sides that he sees every day. And those photos are up at BobbyBones.com.
I was looking through them. One of them had her being iced, I believe. That's what you call it when you have to get down on a knee and drink the whole. What is it? What's
is
that
a Smirnoff ice?
Is that what it is?
Oh.
Yeah. And I always laugh, even though I don't really know that play. That seems like the Raymundo would do. Do you guys ice each other?
No, it's tough to find ice now. It kind of almost went out of style. They don't have them at bars anymore.
But what happens? You walk up to someone.
And as long as you get on a knee, they have to drink it and chug it right away. It's so basically like proposing, but with a bottle of alcohol.
So if you hold the bottle and you get down on a knee.
The other person has to chug it.
Huh. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
And Brett Young shared his Los Angeles Valentine's Day plans.
I think we're doing this Valentine's Day in LA, which we've done before, obviously. And so I'll probably try to find out some new restaurant that she's heard about online that she really wants to see and put us up in a different hotel that's kind of nice and kind of pamper ourselves a little bit.
Ah, good.
Wow, yeah.
But if he's going, we probably will. And he hadn't already booked his reservations.
Oh, boy.
In LA.
And is there something I'm missing about how he's obviously spending it there again?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, she's from there. I mean,
oh, is that where she's from? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's home to her, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. All right, cool.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Shortly after her 4-month-old Lillian Grace was born, they discovered cancer in her brain. So she's been going through chemo, going through treatment. After 4 months, she's all clear, and her family and her got to ring the bell. And this clip, woo, it's cry-worthy.
Dang, how old was she?
4 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, can you imagine being a parent and that's your kid? 4 months old, and she rang the bell, huh?
Rang the bell.
How old was she when she rang the bell?
4 months old.
So she's a baby.
She's a baby, yeah, so the family's really helping her ring it, but...
Holy moly. Shout out to the doctors, too. Holy moly. There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from New York. A man was on his first day at the job at a convenience store, you know, got hired. Yeah, he's working the night shift. He stole $17,000 worth of items from the grocery store.
Oh, my.
Wow.
He stole, like, 89 cartons of cigarettes and a bunch of lottery tickets.
That guy went hard.
Yeah.
Did you see the rapper, by the way, that stole, like, $1 million?
$4 million. Is that what it was? He stole $4 million, and he bought billboards.
Like in Times Square.
To promote his career from his job, he funneled $4 million over, like, a 4-year period.
What?
Uh-huh.
But my question is, why funnel the money into a rap career? Just take the $4 million.
He's investing back in
himself.
He
needed to promote.
Can't hate about that.
It's art.
He's going to be a rapper.
That's his passion.
Like, he's buying stuff he obviously can't afford. And again, he had a billboard in Times Square in New York City.
I'm sure his plan is that if he makes it as a rapper, he'd pay everybody back.
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
It's probably a bunch of IOUs in those accounts. Right. To sign them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Lunchbox.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
All right, we're going to roll through a round of easy trivia. We Googled easy trivia questions for kids, and we'll ask you three. Amy, Lunchbox, our video producer, Eddie. Amy, you're up first. Since this year is a leap year, how many days are in February? Easy trivia.
29.
Correct. And she went right to it. Didn't even think about it. Committed. I respect that.
So smart.
Lunchbox. Who is the founder of Microsoft?
Oh, that's Bill Gates.
Nice. Woo! Eddie.
Come on.
Easy trivia. What's the world's fastest land animal?
I know this one.
What's the world's fastest land animal?
It's a cheetah.
Correct.
Yes.
Round one complete.
Wow.
Amy.
Yes.
Easy trivia. How many legs do spiders have?
Oh my gosh. Why don't I pay attention in entomology?
You took entomology?
I did. Entomology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think spiders have six, but could it be eight? One, two.
How many legs do spiders have, Amy?
Six.
The answer is eight.
I know.
I thought that was an octopus.
Stupid.
They have eight tentacles. They don't have feet, dude.
Oh, okay.
Lunchbox. What country has the most people in the world? What country has the most people in the world at 1.4 billion?
China.
Oh, my gosh.
Eddie.
Come on.
Which famous person was the teddy bear named after? Think about that, the old teddy bear. Which famous person was the teddy bear named after?
Okay. First thing came to my mind was Teddy, I almost said Ruxpin. Not Ruxpin, Teddy Roosevelt.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Wow.
Because Teddy Ruxpin was a teddy bear.
Right, yeah. I know, I realized that.
You're out, huh, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
Lunchbox, who painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? Ooh.
It's easy. Only one I know, Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, no.
Oh, wow.
Eddie.
Yeah, come on.
Yours is equal to his.
Who was it? Not,
oh, sorry. It was Michelangelo.
Ah, dang it.
Michelangelo. Eddie.
Yeah, come on.
Same level of question.
Mm-hmm.
Not one you're going to easily walk away with, but one you should still know.
Come on.
For the win. What's the smallest ocean in the world? Now, does it come to your mind right away?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. What's the smallest ocean in the world? Talk it out.
Well, there are only seven oceans. Or are there five?
Okay. Or are there 50?
Not Pacific or Atlantic. Those are huge.
Think. Okay. I'm not telling you if right or wrong. I'm just playing.
You're just saying okay?
I'm just going with you.
For some reason, and I don't even know this is an ocean. Indian Ocean? Sounds like it's there and it's really small. The other oceans are like Antarctic Ocean. Let's go with Indian Ocean. I don't even know if that's real.
Your answer is?
Indian Ocean.
Wow, that's not it?
It's the Arctic Ocean.
What?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was an Arctic Ocean.
I thought that was so big.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're both
back in the game.
Yeah. All right, come on, come on, yeah.
Lunchbox.
Yep.
What state is the Hoover Dam located in? You know this? I feel like this got a little easier than last time. What state is the Hoover Dam located in?
Well, when you go to Las Vegas, you can take a helicopter ride to the Hoover Dam. So I'm going to go with Nevada.
Whoa! Nice.
Yeah!
Eddie.
Yeah, come on.
How many sides does a Pentagon have? Easy trivia.
The Pentagon, like in Washington.
How many sides does a Pentagon have?
Can I draw it out?
Do you know how to draw a pentagon?
That's an octagon. One, two, three, four, five. That'd be five, my friend.
Yeah! Lunchbox.
Yep.
What does BC stand for, as in 3500 BC?
Oh, that's before my man, before Christ.
Eddie.
Come on.
How many degrees in a circle?
What? Like a full circle? I don't know why my mind just went to temperature. It's not right.
How many degrees in a circle?
So I'm thinking skateboarding. I remember we would do 280. No. Oh, it's 360. Come on.
Nice. Okay, whew. Easy trivia. We only have three left. I'm wondering if we should just do sudden death in case we don't.
Are they easier?
I'll tell you what, we're going to do semi-sudden death.
Okay.
I'll say one, two, three, and you say your answer at the same time. Okay? Don't answer it.
Oh.
What was the 50th U.S. state? Here we go. I'll go one, two, three, then you say it. Okay?
I see what you're saying. Okay.
What was the 50th U.S. state? One, two, three.
Alaska.
Lunchbox said?
Hawaii.
Eddie said?
Alaska.
One of you's right.
Well, yeah, obviously.
The winner is... All I do Lunchbox.
Yeah!
No matter what,
woo!
I can do it again. And every time I step up in the field, it's a Hawaii is the 50th state. Alaska was the 49th state. Running the rest of the questions, what war began in 1914 and ended in 1918?
The war in 1914.
The World War I. Oh. God Save the Queen is the national anthem of what country?
England.
Canada.
United Kingdom. And what's the tallest land animal?
Giraffe.
There you go. Thank you. Lunchbox wins, breaks a streak of no wins in a long
good
time.
Good win, Lunch.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So the average American parent hasn't been on a romantic date in 3 years.
Wow. Now, that doesn't mean just like going out to dinner.
It means a romantic date. Yeah, like you went out of your way, like maybe for the mom, like she got dressed up, put heels on, lipstick, you know, guy like did something really special. So, yeah. And here's the top five things that parents miss most about life before kids. Spending quality time with their partner, going out on dates with their partner, having less responsibility, and sleeping in.
How about you guys? Amy, how long has it been since you've been on a romantic date with your husband?
It's been probably December. What is it? February now? So 2 months.
Okay. What was romantic about that date? What'd you guys do?
I don't know that I would call it romantic because
but did you put lipstick on?
Yes,
you put a dress on?
Yes,
all
like
the
I got
dressed.
Okay, yes, I got dressed up. We didn't have the kids. We were in another city. We went to a really nice restaurant. We sat at the bar for a little bit. Then we got a table. Like it was. That's what we like to do. Like so, that was special.
Okay, well, that's way less than 3 years.
And then, yeah, we didn't even have the kids for the night. Like they stayed somewhere else. So that whole thing.
All right. What else?
They put out a list of like America's favorite romantic comedy, like a rom-com. Our favorite rom-com is The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's a good one. I just don't think of it as romantic comedy. I think of it as a comedy that has a little bit of romance in it.
Maybe I don't remember how it ends, so maybe I need to revisit that. And then the movie that came in second was Bridesmaids, which is
good.
But again, that's a comedy first in our mind. I guess it fits the category, but I think that's why you were thrown by it.
Yeah. What's your favorite rom-com? 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, it's the best. It's one of my favorite movies
it's
ever.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Aside from romantic comedies, 500 Days of Summer is
is it calm or is it just rom?
Ooh, no, it's calm too. There's some calm in there.
Okay, so it's rom-com. Okay.
Yeah, because there's some lighthearted stuff in there. And it's like the little birds, the cartoons, and there's a lot of that. Yeah. It's just such a good, I should make my girlfriend watch that. She probably hasn't seen it.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, that's so good. What else?
Good times. So technology definitely has changed our lives, but the one thing that has changed it the most, like for you, what do you think is like number one in your mind technology wise?
What, since when? What are you talking? That's the weirdest.
The
car?
The airplane.
Yeah. The refrigerator so I can.
The TV? Oh, that changed your logic.
You plug it in.
Which technology?
The last decade. Did
my phone,
say that
the iPhone, easily. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge for people.
No, it's the biggest
everyone,
thing. It's
probably.
That computer in your hand.
Okay, I know, but when I say the number one thing for the last decade, you're going to be like, okay, that makes sense. And it's high-speed internet. Because in 2010, it just was not near as fast as it is like now. Like kids these days, I don't think they would have the patience to deal with what we dealt with back then. And then like my kids, they don't understand that I didn't grow up with a computer. It like they can't even picture it in their mind. They're like, we didn't have cell phones and computers when we were kids.
Well, we never had internet because I didn't have a computer, but my neighbor did. And so I'd go over on Scotty's computer and use it. Or I'd go to the library. I'd get a ride into town and go to the library. But if you picked up the phone while someone was on the computer, you'd hear
disconnection.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like too when it was calling. You had to hit like enter and it would dial in and you'd hear when it connected, oh, it felt so good.
Ah, it's like you're on.
Yeah.
My sister and I, and this was probably, we only had the computer for 1 year before she went to college, but we used to have to fight for when she wanted to be on the phone or one of us needed to be on the computer, and it was like the biggest struggle.
Tough life.
They'll never understand.
Tough life. Kids these days won't even know. Okay, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good. This dad made a special Nintendo Switch controller so his daughter with a disability can game like she loves. She's 9 years old. Her name's Ava. Her disability affects her controlled motor function and speech, which makes it difficult for her to play video games the way her friends do. Her dad saw that his daughter, who has spastic paraplegia, was having difficulty playing, and he designed an adaptive Nintendo Switch controller specifically tailored to her disability. Now, let me shout out a few people here, because he had the idea, kind of knew a bit about it, but he reached out to the founder of Microsoft's what they call Inclusive Tech Lab, Bryce Johnson, who also reached out, and together they developed this for her. And it's this really big, like, box of a controller, and she can play it. It has, like, sensors in it.
Wow.
She loves to play video games.
That's so cool.
And this for her. And the cool thing is that it can also, they're learning how to make this for other kids who have similar disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
About 5 minutes out from Tim McGraw being in the studio. And he's going to play a song for us, too. A special Valentine's Day song. So, Tim McGraw coming up. Let's go over to Amy now with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What does one octopus say to the other on Valentine's Day?
What does one octopus say to the other on Valentine's Day?
I want to hold your hand, 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 hand.
Eight times?
I think I saw someone tag us on that, right? Did you see it on Instagram?
Yeah, a listener sent it to me, yeah. And I said, thank you. That's I'll be using that one on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go. All right, shut her down.
That was the Morning Corny.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Tim McGraw.
Here he is. Good to see you again.
Yeah. Hey, man, you too. All of you guys.
Yeah. We're good. You know, I haven't really seen you since before the LSU won the national championship.
Yes. How about that?
How about that?
That was awesome. I mean, as you know, I'm a huge LSU fan. I'm a diehard LSU fan. But since time I was, you can't grow up in, well, you know, the SEC anyway, Arkansas. I mean, you just can't grow up without being a fan of football. It was a big deal to see it happen. And I love Coach O, so.
I saw that you played, was it the before the game or the day before the game?
Right before the game, yeah.
So did you book that after you knew LSU would be in, or were you going to do that anyway?
No, I was going to do it anyway. But, I mean, we had a feeling. I mean, we were hoping that LSU was going to be in there, and I thought that they might make it there, but it was a bonus that they made it. I mean, in Louisiana, New Orleans, and LSU, I mean, it was a huge deal for me anyway.
Did you have to stay impartial on that stage?
I wore my LSU jacket
on
stage.
Your Instagram, yeah, you had it.
I couldn't help it. They might not have liked it too much, but I mean I think I would have caught more from my Louisiana fans by not doing that than I would have from the powers that be by doing that, because being from Louisiana and everybody knew I grew up there and playing in Louisiana, I couldn't go out there and not represent. I think I would have felt dishonest had I not done that.
What kind of tickets do you get when you are Tim McGraw and you're going to your team?
We had a cool suite. Yeah, we had really good suite tickets. And the coolest thing is right in the suite next to us, Ronnie Lott was over there. And then a couple of suites down was Roger Staubach was sitting there. So it was cool. You got to see some really great players up there and some great people.
Do you go to people and ask for pictures ever? Will you be like, hey, Ronnie Lott?
There's been a few people I've done that with. I try not to do it too much, but there's a few people it's hard to pass up to get a picture with, or at least get a football signed or something like that.
If they don't know who you are, let's say they're not a fan of country music, mm-hmm. and it's somebody like a Ronnie Lott, mm-hmm. like, you know, safety with the 49ers. Like, back in my day, he was just really an amazing player. But let's say he doesn't know country music. Will you go out and be like, hey, I'm a country music singer. I'm also famous. Can we get a picture? Or will you just be like, can I get a picture with you, sir?
I just say, I ask if I can get a picture with you. I have him tell him, can I get a picture with you? Yeah. And that's happened quite a few times, but that's good. I just get a picture and get out and go. One time I went up to Barry Manilow. I saw him somewhere in L.A. at a store. And I went up to him and I said, oh, Barry, man, I'm a huge fan. So nice to meet you. My name's Tim. And he just looked at me like I was crazy and sort of walked off. And then somebody, I guess somebody told him. And then I saw him again later in the store and he came up and said hi to me again and started talking to me.
Barry Manilow was in a store by himself?
Yeah,
Just buying groceries?
Just walked in by himself. I don't think it was a grocery store.
Will you go grocery shopping by yourself?
Yeah, I love to grocery shop. Yeah. I don't mind at all.
Why did your guitar? What's your name? Sorry,
I'm Bob.
That's Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob just left.
Because I've been grocery shopping with him.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Bob was just affirming that you.
Yeah,
love
I
it.
Do. I mean, yeah. I like to grocery shop. I mean, look, we've lived in the same area for so long; everybody sort of knows us there, so it's pretty easy to go do. But Faith and I like to shop together too, grocery shop. I mean, when we go though, it's usually like two buggies of stuff, so we don't have to go very often.
Do you worry about giving your credit card with your name on it over to somebody if they know who you are?
No, I never thought about that.
Oh, well, now he is. Yeah. Now he's like, he'll never do it.
I have an inherent trust in people, Bobby.
Yeah. By the way, Tim's here because the Here on Earth tour is just announced, which I didn't know this was your first solo tour in 5 years.
Yeah, in 5 years.
I guess I've just been with you when you played festivals,
mm-hmm.
but not a whole tour.
Not a whole tour. It's been that long. I guess right at 5 years, yeah. And, you know, Soul to Soul was 2 years, which was so much fun and incredible. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I like being out in the sheds and playing in the summertime and the heat and this sort of conducive environment that happens when you're all out there. And the lawn, of course, the lawn, who knows what's going on out there, but that it makes it fun to look up there and see all the fans. I mean, it's one of my favorite things in the world to do is play out there.
Because it is an active show, will you do a full stretch before you go? Like, what is the pre-show routine?
We have a couple of workouts during, as Bobby can attest to, during the day. Running, if we're playing stadium or arena, we run the stairs. That's the second workout of the day, and then we do a CrossFit in the afternoon. But I do stretch before.
All that before you perform?
Yeah.
Aren't you worried you're going to get tired in the middle of the set?
You know, I find that it energizes me. I think that the guys in the band feel the same way. We always talk, if we don't do a workout before, we don't have the same show. It's not as fun. It's not as energetic.
How do you feel about that, Bob? Exactly.
No, really, it changes your whole mentality.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a discipline.
Oh, and it releases endorphins.
It releases endorphins. There
endorphins
you go.
Endorphins make you happy.
Mm. And the older you get, the more endorphins you need.
Tickets at timmcgraw.com. It's the Here on Earth tour with Midland and Ingrid Andress.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with Ingrid, and she is
she's awesome,
just
right?
Great.
Yeah.
And here's what I know, too, is a lot of people are fighting to get her on the tour. And, you know, there was a whole thing, and you got her.
Yeah, I know. It was toward the end of last summer, I was out hanging out by the pool, just hanging out. Faith was inside doing something and had the radio on, and her song came on, More Hearts Than Mine. It's the first time I'd heard it, and it literally just hit me in the gut. I mean, being a dad of three daughters, I've been through that experience before, and it just really nailed me. And I'm starting to get chill bumps now. And went in and instantly played it, told Faith to look it up and find it. And she looked it up and said, I got to get this girl on tour. She goes, you do. She's awesome. And I was on the phone right away trying to track her agent down, trying to figure out who I could call to get her before anybody else did. And I did. And there's another story I'll tell you later on. I won't tell you on the air, but it happened.
That's
not
my favorite kinds of stories.
Yeah. It's just about some other artists. Because you're right, everybody was trying to get her when they heard that song. Yeah, and I got lucky. Yeah.
The tour starts July 10th in Syracuse, New York, rolls all the way to September 26th. Tim McGraw is here. I was talking to Luke Combs the other day,
mm-hmm.
and because I know you and Luke are...
Yeah, we're doing a couple of... We're doing Philadelphia, the stadium, and L.A. in the stadium. Yeah.
And he was talking about how he went, and somewhat early on, he goes into a BMI, he's playing songs, and he played three songs. They all ended up being number ones. And they told him, those songs aren't good, and you're not going to be an artist. Like, go and work on your... And now Luke Combs is... You know, one of the King Dinglings here,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. He's killing it.
Did that ever happen with you early on where you go and they're like, you know, I just don't know, Mr. McGrath, that you're going to be able to...
It did. I'm not going to name any names, but I'd been working in the studio. I'd really never been in a studio before, and I was doing some early stuff in the studio, my first project, and I went to dinner that night and I was sitting down talking, and finally the guy said, you know, he said, you're a nice guy. So I like you a lot. I said, but I just don't think that this is for you. After being in the studio singing, and I was sort of shocked, but at the same time, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it gave me this sort of drive and this I'm going to show you attitude. I think it was a blessing in disguise at the time.
Do you ever see this person?
I've worked with him before since. Yeah.
Tim McGraw's here. First tour in 5 years that he's been out solo. And it starts July 10th in Syracuse. Tickets at timmcgraw.com. And again, it's Tim and Midland and Ingrid Andress. And I was kind of looking up, because I always like to kind of deep dive back in. And listen, I've gotten to know you a bit over the years, and you've been in a bunch of times. But I was looking at your acting resume. Your first acting appearance came on the Jeff Foxworthy show.
It did, yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's 1997. Whenever you go on that show, your first ever acting appearance, is that nerve-wracking for you? Was it that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nerve-wracking. I mean, acting is the most nerve-wracking thing that I've ever done. And you get a new appreciation for how good everybody is that does that. When you walk on the set... even Jeff, I mean, he was so funny and so good and on the spot at what he did, but how professional everybody is. And I mean, just down to the people who played just the smallest parts, it's unreal the talent that's there. And the discipline that you have to do it, because you can go through all the rehearsals and do all the blocking and run all your lines and get everything right, but the minute the camera comes on, your body starts to defy you with the nerves. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever done, the most nerve-wracking things I've ever done.
But now, are you a little more dialed in? Like, you know how to prepare better when you go do?
I have a little more of a method behind the madness now. I can sort of get myself prepared, but I still have those moments. And oddly enough, in some of the movies I've done, those moments where I've almost felt like in a panic in the middle of a scene where you don't think you're getting it right, or you're so nervous, or the camera's on. Oddly enough, sometimes those are the best scenes that I've done. Not thinking that I'm doing well, there's a certain energy, I think, that sort of comes through subliminally that you don't realize when that's going on. So maybe that happens to everybody. I don't know. But for me, it's almost paralyzing sometimes. You get nervous.
Anything coming up with you? Are you reading scripts or anything right now?
There's a few scripts I've read over the last couple of years. It's just... Timing's the hardest thing, you know, because it's so many variables involved. So to find a script you like is the hardest thing first, because it's much like finding songs. You have to find something that moves you and something that you really like and can dig into. So you find something that you like, and then secondly, it's not like I'm Tom Hanks that they're going to be like building a movie around me. So you got to find a script that you like, and they got to want you. You know, you got to be the guy they want for the part. And then it's got to fall in the timing that you have to do it. I mean, there's only a small window every year that I have an opportunity to do it. So the chances of all of those things lining up at the same time where I can actually do it are tough. And secondly, sometimes I just don't know if I want to do it anymore. But I'm sure something will come along that's going to be hard. It's got to be, I think now I'm at this point in my life, it's got to be something that I just can't resist. You know what I mean? It's got to be something that there's no way that I can let it pass me by.
Would you do the next installment of The Joker? Because they're doing them every year, basically. Would you be the country Joker? What about that?
I'm not going to try to live up to Joaquin's performance on The Joker. That was something special there.
Tim McGraw's here. I didn't know you were going to perform. This is a treat for me. Bob came in.
We're going to give it a shot and see what it sounds like.
Wow. Okay. He's going to do a medley of every song he's ever written.
Oh,
it's
going to
take us 2 days. It's going to be great.
Well, every song I've ever written wouldn't take long, but every song I've ever recorded might take a while.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Tim McGraw.
All right, Tim's here. By the way, just announced the Here on Earth tour. It's his first solo tour in 5 years. I didn't realize Soul to Soul was 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Wow.
It was fun. I mean, gosh, I tell you, every time I'm on stage with Faith and get to spend that long singing together, I it makes me so much better, because to keep up, it's like a NASCAR trying to keep up with an Indy car with her singing. She's such a great vocalist, and I'm not a natural harmony singer, so being on stage with her, she's the only person I can really sing harmony with, and being on stage with her and trying to chase her all night with harmonies and try to stay with her, you can't help but get better, because she'll give you that look if you're off pitch or not singing well.
Amy gives me that look here on the show sometimes. She'll be like, you're not with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask, so if, let's say some of us are having a wedding and they wanted to hire you to do their wedding, what would that cost?
A lot.
All right, Tim McGraw's here.
Unless you're a really good friend.
But you're saying it could happen.
It could happen.
Okay.
For the right price, you'd play someone's wedding?
Or the right friend.
Like an oligarch was like an American oligarch.
Yeah.
Dang. To be that rich. If Jeff Bezos called and was like, come play at the house.
Oh, yeah. But some stock options as well.
Mm. Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. All right, Tim McGraw. Hey, have you seen Cheer on Netflix?
No.
You should watch that.
Well, I haven't seen it. Well, we are hooked on Netflix. I mean, and binge watching now. Like, we've never seen Homeland, so Faith and I have been binge watching that over like the last week, and so hooked on that. So finding these shows that everybody has seen and go back, like, I'll write that one down to go back and find this stuff.
It's about college cheerleaders, but it's really good.
Oh, wow. It's about the sport, like how crazy the sport is. Like, you'll like it because you're such an athletic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful.
They do some crazy. My daughter, actually, her first year of college was a cheerleader, and she did it on a whim and made the team. And she's not, she cheered in high school, but she didn't do gymnastics or any of that stuff. And then she got into college, they started doing some crazy stuff. And we were watching them, and she was a flyer. So the stuff that she was doing was incredible. So
after you watch Cheer, text me.
You'll love it, yeah.
Text me, and then I'll bring you on the phone, and I want to hear your review of Cheer in the next few weeks. All right. Tim McGraw's here. Let's do a little song. What are we going to do here?
My Best Friend. It's Valentine's Day.
All right. Here we go. Hey guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby
Bones. Come on.
That's my wife. That's my Valentine's Day present.
That's super special.
Bobby, you should have him say something to Caitlin right now.
No.
Why?
I don't need him talking to my girlfriend because then she'll like him better.
That's from Bobby to Caitlin.
Oh, right, come yes! on. Okay, thank you. Tim McGraw, there he is. Hey, go see Tim on the Here on Earth tour. Tickets up. Ingrid Andress, Midland. Go to timmcgraw.com. He's all over from July to September from Chicago, St. Louis, Atlanta, Tuscaloosa. Everywhere we are, woo, Tim will be. And thanks, guys. Bob, good to see you too. All right, there he is. Tim McGraw, everybody. Woo! Thank you all.
Bones, y'all. Bones. It's time for the good news
with Amy.
Tell me something good.
So inside this nursing home, they decided to decorate it like a neighborhood. Now, while they're still inside, it just gives all the feels kind of like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or something. Like, they have clouds painted on the sky, and anytime a resident leaves their little room, their little apartment, like, birds start chirping in the hallways. So it makes them feel like they're in a neighborhood when they're really inside their nursing home.
So not as clinical.
Yeah.
How's your dad doing at his nursing home?
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Like, he really likes it. He's getting more involved. Like, he hangs out. He's been healthy the last few weeks, which has been really helpful because that means he feels like he can go down and mingle. Past few times I've gone over there, I've kind of walked straight up to his room and I knock on the door and he's not in there. And I'm like,
he's partying.
What? I'm like, where are you? And then I go back down. Yeah. And then I go back downstairs and there he is in like the TV room with everybody. And I walk right past him. I didn't even know. I just figured he'd be hanging out in his room, but I like that he's getting more social. But it's hard because he's the youngest one there, I think.
Wow.
He's 78. And most people there are 90 plus. And then, you know, not to be Debbie Downer, but it's hard too because, like, you walk in and there's a framed picture of someone that they maybe lost that week. But it's sad, but then it's not because it's like, born in 1901. And you're like, wow, they lived a long life. Like, it's just, you know, he makes friends and then you never know.
Do you see the value of this nursing home that you're talking about making birds chirp and it being houses instead of inside of a hospital room?
Oh, yeah. I think it's super important to make, like, you don't want to make them feel like, I mean, even us putting my dad there, I don't even want to put it that way. Even us picking out a place for my dad to live like that, it's so hard. And for an adult to realize, I mean, that's now they have to have assisted living situation. It's hard for them. Some of them have memory issues and this type of environment can be really good for them. So, yeah. I mean, my dad's feels like a frat house.
Nice.
So it's
where I need to go.
Keg stand.
That's a good story. Hey, that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good. This is the Bobby
Bones Show. All right, poetry time.
Yeah.
So we were all given the task of writing a poem for our significant other. And I had sent Caitlin the King of Queens theme song. As I said, hey, I wrote you a poem. And she was like, wow, really? And then I sent her the King of Queens theme song. She didn't know King of Queens. But she was like, this is not you. Why did you get me excited if you're just going to send a dopey song? So I was like, okay, let's write real poems. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 7 poems.
Wow.
We've all written them for our significant other. I will go first, okay? Mine is for my girlfriend, Caitlin. Your hair is like the sun. You live in California, but Oklahoma is where you're from. Mm. I can't wait for the day you give the Sooners the axe and pledge your loyalty to the Arkansas Razorbacks. When we're out in public, all the people stare because you're 10 times hotter and I can't compare. You're even funnier than me, and that makes me sad, because humor is all that I really had. It's obvious I'm the one who is lucky. You made the days seem less sucky. Most of all, I just want to say I'm glad I have you this Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Wow. Thank you very much.
It's beautiful, man.
Thank you very much. Morgan number 2 has a poem. Who is yours for, Morgan number 2?
Mine is for my dog, Remy.
Okay, Morgan number 2 is very single.
Very single. There are no prospects.
So. All right, go ahead.
It's been 4 years since I found you, and we became best friends out of the blue. We like to cuddle and go on walks, and your favorite thing is when I use baby talk. I will never know much about your past, but that doesn't matter because our love will always last. It's been 4 years since I rescued you, but really, you rescued me too.
Oh. Nice. Wow. Wow.
So touching.
It's beautiful.
Raymundo, you have one for us here?
Yeah, I got you. Ready?
Raymundo is engaged now. Been with this girl 7 years. Raymundo, take it away.
It took me 6 years to make you a Slater. Luckily, you didn't kill me like an alligator. Finally, when I gave you a ring, I grabbed you for good and put you under my wing.
Ooh. Wait, huh?
I don't know.
Now that our future is set, I no longer find the urge to bet. Our future starts October 24th, that night, and I promise you it will be very bright.
Oh, good, nice. Ray. Yeah.
All right, Ray.
Pouring it out there, Raymundo.
Good, man.
All right. Amy, you want to let it roll?
Sure. You wooed me with your Air Force flight suit.
Hold on. Tell us a little bit about your relationship first.
Oh, sorry. My husband and I, we were married like over 13 years. When we first started dating, he was in the Air Force. In fact, on the radio, we didn't call him Amy's boyfriend or anything when we were dating. Y'all all called him Air Force Guy. Do you remember that?
I don't.
He didn't have a name or anything. We just said, you were like, so you're going to see Air Force Guy this weekend? Yeah, it was good times. So here we are, two kids later, adopted two kids from Haiti. We've had them the last 2 years, and this is my poem to him.
Go ahead.
You wooed me with your Air Force flight suit. Very Top Gun looking and very, very cute. You annoyingly have to always be early, which to you is on time. And after 13 years of marriage, I find you still in your prime.
Ooh, that's nice rhyme. Hey.
Thank you for being a great dad and keeping up with our crazy life. I'm honored to be your wife. Where is that flight suit, by the way? You should maybe wear it this Valentine's Day.
Hey! Good one, Amy.
Nice. I was like watching Eminem in a rap battle. When he does it, you go, oh! Yeah. That's solid. How many do we have done? Four? This is the Bobby Bones Show. All right, we're reading poems to our significant others. Eddie, you're up.
Oh, man. My wife and I have been married for 14 years, two kids of our own, two foster kids, family of four, family of six now.
Wow.
And, here's my poem.
All right, here we go.
As I look around this house and our party of six, can't believe it all started with two, and now four of them are our kids. Lucky they are to have you as their mom, but to have you as my wife is da bomb. You make my heart explode like a really good Netflix episode. I write these words not just to rhyme, but to remind us of our wonderful life together on this day of Valentine.
Ah!
Come on.
At one part, Eddie went straight Yoda in his palm.
Yeah, did you hear
he
that?
He was like, be with you, I me.
Yeah. That's like, well, that's the one that says, lucky they are.
Lucky they have you as their mom.
Lunchbox, you're up.
Oh, okay. My wife and I have been married 4.5 years. We have a 1.5-year-old, and we are a few weeks away from having baby number two. And I'm just going to tell you, she cried when I read it to her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it says, to my wife, you are my hottie. I love it when you're naughty. You have a baby in your tummy. Don't worry. You still look yummy, yummy. You will always be Baby Box's mommy. I hope you never stop calling me daddy.
What? That rhyme.
Okay. LB used to have lots and lots of ladies. I thank God you were born in the 80s.
What?
I love wrapping my arms around you. Still so happy we said I do.
Good one.
You're my best friend. I will love you until the end.
Boom!
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He talked about himself in third person. He said, LB, you
What's with the thank God she was born in the 80s?
Yeah.
Or else she would be too...
Because the 90s would be too weird.
Old. Yeah, she would be too young for me if she was in a different decade.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't have met her.
And then too old if she was born in the 70s.
Got it.
Mike D, you are up.
Don't be a hater. I didn't hate on your terrible point.
I was just wondering.
I didn't say yours was terrible.
I'm talking about
just
Eddie.
Laughing at it.
Mike D, how are you?
Good.
You're going to close the show out.
All right, me and my girlfriend been together almost 2 years, met on a dating app, and we are long distance.
What app did you meet on?
Bumble.
I knew that, right?
Dang. Yep.
Dang, I'm talking
You're
about
like
that
a Bumble
a
ad.
Yeah.
Didn't know that either.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know that. And she came at you first, huh?
Yeah.
She, listen,
messaged me first.
Here's what we have working for us, Mike. We're both, neither one of us are married, and both of our girlfriends are way hotter than us.
Yes.
True.
I agree.
How do you feel about that?
Got lucky.
But I like it. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah.
I like being the ugly one. But like I mentioned in my poem, I usually am the funny one. I don't even know that I'm the funny one in my relationship.
That makes you very
I'm
sad.
I'm like the charity
said.
Case. Yeah, I don't remember. I think I threw mine out. Mike D is a writer on the show. If you hear a game, he probably wrote it. Mike D, are you ready for your poem?
I am ready.
Here we go.
No luck with dating apps on my phone. I figured I would die alone. But I found you instead. You came and cleaned the mess from my head. You've shown me what true love means. It's everything that happens in between the scenes. And even though you're 800 miles away, I know it won't always be this way. In case you forget, know that it's true. I'm always thinking of ways to get back to you.
Oh, hey,
that's
wow.
Pretty good. That's actually really good, Mike.
It also sounds like he used the King of Queens in that poem, too. Baby, all my life, I'm coming right on home to you. All right, nice job, team. You all did a great job with your poems.
Thank you.
Take them, put them on the refrigerator. Show how much you love them. You know, Amy?
Yes.
Lunchbox, Eddie, Raymundo, Morgan number two, Mike D. I hope you have a lot of love in your life.
Thank
tonight.
You.
You too,
Bones.
Thank Back
you,
at you.
Thank you. Oh, I'll definitely have a lot of love tonight.
Oh.
Okay.
It's a new relationship. Bobby Bone, come on. I'll read you the love story of a country music couple. The rule is it's just one country music artist. It can be two. But you name the artist, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Number one. These two met on a TV show. They began dating in 2015 and have since released music together. They celebrated their four-year anniversary back in November and joked about getting engaged. What couple is that? They met on a TV show. They began dating in 2015 and have since recently released music together.
And they joked about getting married?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not married.
That would be the...
And they met on a TV show.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they joked about getting married.
Joked about
they're
getting
not married,
married.
So they're just dating, and they just put out a song together.
Yeah, fairly young.
What?
You're all going to go, what was I thinking?
Well, I have nothing.
And they're together?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
they just released a song together.
I'm in for the win.
Dang it.
They met on a TV show. That's the big one there.
I'm in for the win.
They met on a TV mm-hmm. show.
Both on a TV show.
And they are not married, but they're together. And they have a song together.
Mm-hmm. You may not know the song, though. It's really new.
These are country artists?
At least one of them is. That's the rule.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I need more than that.
But that's all of it.
All right.
Amy?
Everybody in my head's married. I have no idea.
You have no answer.
Bobby Bones.
No. Lunchbox?
It's Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Told you. Eddie?
So dumb. John Party and his girlfriend.
That's fun. The girlfriend. All right, number two.
And their song is so good together.
I know.
I saw they performed it at the
Grammys.
Yeah. It was so good.
Amy didn't know it. Just let it go.
Yeah. Amy, you didn't know it. Here we go. Next up. She met her now husband while she performed on Good Morning America. Her bandmates secretly invited him to their show when they officially met.
And
you know this?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
You don't?
I guess I do. It's in front of me. I didn't know the bandmates invited him to the show.
I'm in for the win.
Invited him to the show.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's a little context clue there. Country music love stories. This one we're not going to take 10 years on, guys.
Yeah, okay. I'm in.
That first one was written as the example, and I just went in and made it a point.
Well, I wish you would have made it the example.
I know.
Yeah.
I think Mike thought it was so easy that
guys, don't be mad.
It was written as the example. Amy.
Miranda Lambert.
Yeah, Miranda Lambert. Lunchbox?
It's Miranda Lambert and Cop Guy.
Eddie?
That's Faith and Tim.
They met on Good Morning America, Eddie.
Yeah, probably wasn't around when they met.
No, I think
what are you talking
America,
about right
Good
now?
Good Morning America's been around for a long time, dude.
I think they met, like, probably just here in Nashville down the street.
That one was so easy, too, that Mike thought that was an example, too.
That one was easy. I will give you that.
Okay, next up.
Mm-hmm.
This couple met at a Topgolf location. She was just enjoying her time there and had no idea who he was. He didn't actually talk to her during their first encounter, but he later messaged her on Instagram after returning home to Nashville.
I'm in for the win.
Eddie, I'll start with you. You have no points right now.
Kane Brown.
That's right. Lunchbox.
Kane Brown and wife.
Amy?
Kane Brown and Caitlin Brown.
Ooh.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No bonus point for knowing that, but good, good, good. All right. This country artist met his wife while he was playing football at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. They went through on-again, off-again dating. She's also been the inspiration behind a lot of his music. His debut album was named for the town she grew up.
I'm in for the win.
In.
Eddie?
Sam Hunt.
Yeah, Lunchbox?
Sam Hunt.
Good.
Amy?
Sam
Good.
Hunt.
Mm. Four, so another one. This country couple originally met in another country after co-hosting an award show together. Later that night, he leaned over and asked if he could kiss her, like a proper gentleman, and she said yes.
What's his name?
You can just get one of them, right?
Okay.
This country couple originally met in another country after co-hosting an award show together.
I'm in for the win.
In.
Don't say Faith and Tim, Eddie.
Stop.
No, I say that.
I think I got it.
Eddie?
I got it. Kelsey Ballerini and Morgan.
Yeah. Lunchbox?
Kelsey Ballerini and Morgan Evans.
Amy?
Kelsey and Morgan.
Good. This is a fun game, huh? This country artist first met his wife when they dated while attending Georgia Southern University. They broke up for several years before they got back together. He then realized they were meant to be together for the rest of their lives, so he proposed. So now they share two children and adopted three more.
I'm in.
Can you repeat that again?
It's a lot, Eddie.
No, it's too much.
Yeah,
too,
Eddie,
it's
too much. If you don't know it,
and you guys know it?
Yes.
They're just like,
how many children, real quick, Bones?
Two children, adopted three more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Seems right to
I'm
me.
In.
Eddie?
Thomas and Lauren.
Oh, my gosh.
It's wrong.
That was a good try, dude.
Lunchbox?
It's Luke Bryan and Caroline.
Amy?
Yeah, it's Luke Bryan.
Good. Sunburn, sunset, see, let me do one more. Let's see. I got a bunch of them here.
Easy.
How about he first met his wife in the eighth grade at Ingleside Middle School in Phoenix, Arizona. They tried dating in high school, but soon were separated by distance when he moved to Nashville at age 19.
I'm in.
In.
I'm guessing I'm in for the win.
Big context clues in this one.
Yeah, big time.
What was the context clue for you?
Arizona.
Yeah. Big one.
Lunch isn't in yet.
He's in.
Oh, sorry.
Eddie?
Dirks and his wife.
Yeah. Lunchbox?
I guess Dirks Bentley.
Amy?
Dirks.
There you go. Lunchbox wins the love game. Look at this guy.
Didn't get one wrong?
Didn't miss.
Wow.
I mean, perfect.
Lunchbox perfection. 7, Amy 6, Eddie 4, buddy.
That's Tim and Faith.
Struggle, my friend.
And they stay there! And they stay there!
Fun though, huh?
Yep.
Good game.
Yeah. I love that game.
There's a Dolly Parton one. This country artist met her husband at a laundromat. She had moved to Nashville that day and was doing her laundry when he drove by in his white Chevy pickup truck.
I would not have gotten
that. The couple was young when they married. She was 20. He was 23. They're still together 50 years later.
That's amazing. I love
it. I think
story.
The 50 years later may have got you there. Yeah. Huh? No.
I don't know that I would have guessed it. I would have
been tough.
The country artist is a superstar with a radiant personality, flashy style, but her husband is the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Has anyone seen him? Do you know what he looks like?
I know what he looks like. I've never met him.
Oh.
I've seen him on documentaries.
Okay.
Oh.
Or TV shows. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, there you go. Just in time for Valentine's Day. There you go. That is the country music love story. Nice job with that game, Mike.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Let's do Flashback Friday 22 years ago today. Here we go.
Flashback Friday!
On this Friday back in 1988, the biggest country song was Just to See You Smile from Tim McGraw.
Just to see you smile.
Isn't that crazy? A number one song 22 years ago and still in here, and we have him in as a now artist.
Yeah, he'll probably have a number one soon.
Crazy. The biggest pop song was Nice and Slow from Usher. This is a jam. And the biggest thing of pop culture is The Wedding Singer, starring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, was released. It's a 1980s set rom-com talking about romantic comedies earlier. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. About a heartbroken wedding singer named Robbie Hart who falls in love with Julia Roberts. And I think, for my money, one of my favorite love songs of all time is Adam Sandler doing Grow Old With You. You know the song? It goes, I want to make you smile whenever you're sad.
I don't think I do.
There you go.
Oh, you heard it, Amy.
Yeah.
Whenever you're sad, carry you around when your arthritis is bad. All I want to do is grow old with you.
He plays this on the airplane, and Billy Idol's on the airplane.
I'll get your medicine.
Jam that up.
When your tummy aches, build you a fire when the furnace breaks. Oh, it could be so nice growing old with you.
Big, big moment here. Here we go.
I'll miss you, kiss you.
You know the song at all?
It sounds a little bit familiar, but.
Need you, feed
here's the big line.
You. I'll even let you hold the remote control. So let me do the dishes.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Flashback Friday, 22 years ago, 1998. Close it out there, Raimundo.
Flashback Friday.
All right, Morgan, number two, what's up with today?
Oh, well, you told us some life updates with your girlfriend and your dog, Stanley.
Oh, hold on a second. Eddie just said I said Julia Roberts. Her name is Julia Gulia in the show. Is that what it is?
It's yeah. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, it's, sorry. Thank you.
Sorry.
But is her name Julia in the show? Julia?
Yeah, it's Julia Gulia.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. Yeah, here we go. We'll leave her as Julia that's what it is. I just saw Julia and went with Julia Roberts. Yeah, you're right. With a waitress bride-to-be whose married name... We'll leave her as Julia Gulia.
Because that's his last name. Yeah.
Thank you. Good catch. Thank you, Eddie.
You're welcome.
Morgan, I'm sorry. What else is happening here? What's happening on today's show?
We shared poems about our significant others for Valentine's Day.
Yes, all seven of us did.
Good stuff.
And it was very romantic. We almost all made out with each other. It was so romantic. We were all just put in the mood so much.
Yeah.
You had to keep our hands off each other.
It happens.
Yeah. What else?
Amy sent her kids to school with something that was a bit controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guns.
I mean, I can't believe
guns
it.
And knives. And
I mean,
drugs.
I guess I'll take people's opinion about it.
All right, what else?
And Tim McGraw performed for us today his song "My Best Friend" and hung out with us for a little bit.
So can't hear that on the podcast though. Can't hear Tim McGraw perform on this show, but you can watch it on Instagram Live or
Instagram TV. Yep.
There you go. All right, listen. Thank you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us, Amy. What's happening today with you?
Well, my husband got me a massage for Valentine's Day, so
a coupon for one from him, or
no, like a real one. Oh. So I'm kind of excited about that. Yeah. That'll probably feel real good. What about you?
So Kaylin's in town. She came in last night. I'm gonna do some American Idol satellite TV stuff today. Got to go do a bunch of interviews, but then it's Valentine's tonight. We had our Valentine's that I did for her last week, but we're gonna go to fancy dinner tonight. I'll get whatever gift she got me. We're going to hang out with Amy tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
What are you going to do? Like dinner?
More like lunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to lunch tomorrow. So, yeah, that's the deal. Anything else I'm missing? I saw you write a note. Was that note about me?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lunch with Bobby tomorrow.
Amy wrote a note as we were doing
it. I saw her doing that.
That rarely happens that she writes something down. As we're talking about it.
Yeah.
What'd you write?
Just a reminder. Yeah. What time are we meeting?
Why do you have double?
She just remembered. She forgot. No, she was
you forgot?
Yes.
I did not forget. Amy, I wrote that down before you even said that. I was writing down massage. I had something I wanted to remember about it.
Do you believe her, Bones?
You could bring it. I wrote down massage.
All right. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. A great Valentine's Day. All that. We'll see you. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.